Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. We had just an exciting first section. I'm going to talk to you about Dr. Forrester's book that we reviewed, The Heart Healers, with Dr. Forrester, and why that was such an exciting interview. But first, we'll go over some simple things we talked about. We talked about protein pump inhibitors and the data that they're now increasing the risk. They have been all along, but now we know it, increasing the risk of chronic kidney failure and what to do if you're taking one. Only take it for 2 weeks. Go to the histamine blockers, H2, cimetidine, and Zantac that you can get over the counter in your local drugstore. Talk to your doc about it, but don't take the PPIs, no matter what the ads are on TV, no matter how good it looks with people in purple riding motorcycles and great scenes from the water and big guys eating too much food. Don't do that. Don't be cussed. Don't fall prey to it yourself. Get and don't get the complication of the heart, of the kidney failure with it. We also talked about the fact that statins inhibit the flu vaccine effectiveness and what to do about that too. That's taking an extra, if you will, dose of, or a bigger dose, and that's normally given for the flu vaccine for those over 65. The intenser dose is, in fact, what you should be getting of those medications. So we know answers for these, and that's what we give you here on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, answers that you can use so that you take control of your health. Dr. Forrester didn't give us answers, but he talked to us a lot in the book called The Heart Healers. It's a great book. It literally is. You know, my producer, Donna Gould, has just been wonderful. She gets these books that she knows I read most of the book before I do the interview. Try and read the whole. It's a lot to read a full book and to do my day job and all the other things I do in preparing for this radio show. And I love it because it gives me a reason to do what I do. So this is not a complaint in any way. It's not to say I feel over. I love what I get to do. But Donna Gould makes it even better because she has been getting a set of wonderful books that I get to read. And this one talked about the Heart Healers, and it's the misfits, mavericks, and rebels who created the greatest medical breakthroughs of our lives. Talks about some of the people I worked with, Paul Zoll. Talks about the people who really changed medicine at the Cleveland Clinic and for all the world, Mason Soans, Rene Favolaro, and how different they were, yet they worked together for the betterment of medicine, and how accidents happen. Well, we're going to talk about one of these great accidents that happened that is changing the world right now. What is it? Well, I'll give you a hint. It relates to gene editing. So the headline in this story, and this is, if I was going to say what's the most major breakthrough I've been involved in, not involved in directly caring for patients, but I've watched as we're here, is gene editing. What do we mean by gene editing? Well, just imagine if you had a gene that predisposed you to dementia or that predisposed you to Alzheimer's, and with a $30 shot, literally that's what it costs, $30, you inject this shot in your vein, and you edit out that gene. You literally, like you're doing spell check, you change it. That's what this is. That amazing, right? Could you think of yourself as doing that? Well, that's what this does. And does it, well, let me give you the story. Because that's what this is, and it's going to radically change. Imagine we can maybe, this may be a way, not of treating Alzheimer's, but of preventing it in the people who are most vulnerable for it to develop. Leukemia Success Herald's Wave of Gene Editing Therapies. That's right, that's the headline, one-year-old girl. By the way, if you want to hear that first interview, that interview with Heart Healers, with James Forrester, or any of the first hour's stories, and they're wonderful stories, you can always go to RadioMD.com, RadioMD.com, and get it. I'm without my email, udocs@gmail.com today, so go to, call us if you want to ask questions. Please do call us, 844-305-7800. Ben is standing by, the engineer. Just doesn't have anything to do. I'm only kidding. He's got a lot to do, but hopefully he'll be able to answer your call and get you hooked up with me. But anyway, gene editing now in play is the headline. Leukemia Success Herald, waves of gene editing therapies, one-year-old girl treated, as plans to inject DNA cutting technology directly into patient bodies take shape. Lagla, a one-year-old girl with leukemia, is in remission thanks to gene editing technology that allowed her to receive modified immune cells from another person. Her case represents, what do we mean by modified immune cells? Well, the immune cells are ones that fight infections, fight problems. Well, she received a modified or edited immune cells from another person. Her case, the story goes on, represents the second trial of gene editing as a therapy. The first was carried out last year in patients with HIV or AIDS. More similar trials are planned, and companies are also preparing to trial therapies that inject DNA that codes for gene editing enzymes directly into the human body. Gene editing means you can send a message into the human body via this injection. It sounds just so science fiction, doesn't it? And you edit out that part of the DNA without hurting the gene, so all your cells now only carry good DNA. To administer the therapy, the researchers extract immune cells called T cells from a healthy donor, expose them to a DNA cutting enzyme called TALEN. So CRISPR and TALEN cost $30. They're used in the lab. But what they do is they cut out this enzyme. They cut out the DNA. The enzyme deactivates immune genes that would otherwise cause the donor cells to attack when injected into a person with leukemia, and modifies genes to protect the new cells from anti-cancer drugs the patient is taking. What does all that mean? It means the individual will not destroy healthy cells. Instead, they'll all destroy the own bad cells, which are replaced by cells you've modified with this technology by healthy cells. It's almost too good to be true, right? I mean, how can you think of even doing this? But that's what it does. When added to blood extracted from patients, the new technology cuts the gene for a protein on the T cells that is targeted by the virus, and the team then pumps the cells back into the patients. The patient then lives happily ever after. At least that's the plan. Well, what happened is, it makes more sense to edit the genome in vivo. For example, if the target cells are in an organ or tissue that's harder to remove than blood, you can edit them in the heart itself. This group had injected 15 monkeys with a virus that carried genes encoding this editing process and a normal version of factor 9, a blood clotting protein produced by the liver, which is abnormal in people with hemophilia. So what they did is they injected these in patients with hemophilia. It cut the bad protein out. It gave them the new protein. No more hemophilia. That's it. That's literally what it did. And it changed those people's lives. That's where we're going. Imagine changing people's lives with AIDS. Imagine changing people's lives with other cancer. Imagine changing people's lives whose heart isn't functioning just as well. But that's essentially what we're going to do, and what we're doing, and what we're talking about. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, because I'm going to talk to you about P53 protein in pachyderms, the answer to cancer therapy, maybe. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We'll be right back.
The all-important family meal. Dinner just got happier and healthier. Why? Because kids are begging for crunchy, out-of-this-world, yummy, healthy veggie fries. Yep, they're healthy because they're made with real vegetables. You can choose from broccoli or carrot, chickpea and red pepper, or kale and Tuscan bean, or choose all four. Veggie fries are gluten-free, a good source of fiber, and an excellent source of vitamin A, C, and K. Plus, they're very low in sodium. Veggie fries are a parent's dream for their family. Hey, and parents love them too. So if you want to hear more veggies, please, at your dinner table, look for them in the freezer section of your favorite supermarket or natural food store. For more about veggie fries, please go to eatveggiefries.com. Veggie fries.
Packing for a trip? I know that many travelers like you wish there were more options to stay healthier and happier away from home. Enter Even Hotels with a wellness-savvy staff, a best-in-class fitness experience, healthier food choices, and natural, relaxing spaces. There's no excuse to miss your workout there with fitness options for core, cardio, and strength from their best-in-class athletic studio to the in-room training zone. Eat well while on the road with an abundance of simple, natural, good choices, including customized menu items, freshly prepared food for specific diets, and healthy grab-and-go items. Enjoy premium amenities to wash away the stresses. And finally, at the end of every day, you can rest easy on their premium sleep system that features natural eucalyptus linens and pillow choices to accommodate every type of sleeper. If you can't stay with them at one of their locations, enjoy helpful tips from their wellness travel site, wellwellwell.com. Discover Even Hotels.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Each year, millions of people fall for dangerous fad diets and bogus weight loss products. Here's how to separate facts from fad. This is registered dietitian Melissa Joy Dobbins for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics with your Eating Right Minute. Fad diets give lots of promises and few results. Some are even dangerous. Remember these warning signs. A guarantee of rapid weight loss is a red flag. For long-term success, aim to lose about 1 pound per week. Never follow a diet that bans an entire food group or one that allows you to only eat from one group. Finally, there is no proof that eating specific foods at certain times of the day will help with weight loss. To create an eating plan just for you, see a registered dietitian and visit www.eatright.org. Encouraging you to eat right, I'm registered dietitian Melissa Joy Dobbins with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
RadioMD.com. It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Royson, MD.
And this is Dr. Michael Royson, and you're listening to a show that helps you take control of your health. We're a passionate show that goes through the latest medical news of the week and the medical breakthroughs and tells you what it means for you and how you can benefit from it. That's giving you specific examples, such as with that statin. If you're taking a statin, make sure you get the high-dose flu vaccine, not the regular one, but a high-dose one, because that's what you need for this week and for this year if you're going to take a statin, because the statin inhibits the production of the normal antibodies to it, to the injection. Well, this we're talking about is aging, and I'm going to talk about this gene leukemia therapy, that is the gene editing that amazingly came out this week. This baby who had an end-stage disease and wasn't getting better from it, so they tried. They weren't going to do this. They were going to do it as an experiment in 15 people. They've done it in some animals where they cut out, edit, literally in you, very inexpensively, a gene. So just imagine we can type all of your genes for, say, $500, find out which ones are likely to cause you increased risk, and we say for that, well, we'll cut that out because you shouldn't have that one. And we do it, and it's $30. So you're much less likely to get Alzheimer's. But now let's say we're ISIS. We're a terrorist organization. And we can find and edit so that you're made to be a killer, because they've got all the killers. They can edit the genes, do large databases, find out what genes it takes for you to be a killer. And then you say, oh, my gosh, they're going to make me, they're going to edit out my normal genes, my genes that may make me a relatively normal person. And instead, they're going to inject in me genes that make me a killer. Whoa. But that's what might happen as well. And so that's part of the problem with this, if you will, new technology, is we may end up having some ethical dilemmas over it, because it really does change what doctors consider who you are, and that is your DNA. And what happens if we decide to really change your DNA to give you brightness or stupidity, or take away your ethical foundation and make you a killer? And maybe it can be done without even your free will. Someone injects something into you, they pin you down and inject it. So this has all kinds of ramifications in that science fiction world. And how do we keep it? How do we keep those large databases? Because the CRISPR technology, I called my son when we were debating this for the Cleveland Clinic Top 10. I said, this is a research technology. Will change health. And have you ever heard of it? And he said, Dad, I've been using it for 6 months. It's so cheap. It was just invented last year in 2014 or something. But he said, it costs $30 to change the genes in a mouse so that I can have an animal model of type 2 diabetes, or I can have an animal model of calcium abnormalities in bone formation, and then I can study it and find out how to make it better. And I think, well, that's the good side. How about the evil side? And there is an evil side, unfortunately. So that's the problem we have with this, and so there is another aspect to this that is, to me, somewhat scary, and probably to all scientists, and that's the ethical side. But let's just talk about another use of it, because this is really interesting. What's the difference between a large person and a small person? Why do large people, that is, big people, die of cancer much more readily? And I don't mean by big obese, I mean tall. And that is, the tall person has the same size cells as the shorter person, but just has more cells. And you say, well, if that's true, and if cells develop cancer abnormalities, that is abnormal, what you would call abnormal mutations at the same rate, then the person who has the more cells should develop cancer more. And that's true. And you say, well, what about animals? Does the animal have the same size cell as the human? And the answer is yes. The animal does have the same size cell as the human. And then you say, well, why don't, if you will, why don't elephants develop more cancer. And the reason is that sometime along the evolutionary line, what happened? They developed more ability to fight their cancers. We have an ability to fight our cancers before they develop cancer. That is, we all have P53 genes. Every cell but red cells have P53 genes in them. And those genes are like a proofreader. They read the duplications of other cells. And if you've got an abnormal duplication, they kill that cell. Literally, they cause your cell to commit suicide before it turns into a cancer. When it's got an abnormal duplication. And that's what protects you to a large degree from cancers. And you say, wait a second, you've got something that protects you from cancer inside us? And the answer is yes. And now with this gene editing technique, you say, well, why can't we make more of it? Well, that's exactly what pachyderms, what these elephants do. So the elephant has five of these P53 genes per cell, so that are four of them, four or five, so that when they develop abnormalities, which they do because they got many more cells, they don't have more cancers because they kill the abnormalities. And you say, whoa, that's pretty heady stuff, right? You could maybe give humans more of these and prevent humans, that is you and me, from having cancers. And that's what they're trying. Maybe in the good side of this, we can add it in to you and me more P53 genes. And you say, well, what about ISIS? What would it do with these? How? And you'd say, well, they don't like you. They may give you an injection, tie you down and give you an injection that'll force you to have a very painful cancer. Whoa, this is big league stuff. But that's what this does, this new gene editing technology. So that's the big issue I wanted to cover. But let's cover, we'll come back, when we come back from break, we're going to cover some regular things, because this is such a big issue, I don't even know how to deal with it. I went over and started talking to this with my favorite ping pong opponent, Albert Ratner, and he said, well, you know, we had the same thing with nuclear weapons. Should Harry Truman have dropped that first bomb on Hiroshima and Hiroshima? Hiroshima in Japan, it stopped World War II. It saved a ton of lives, but obviously other people could come up with a nuclear weapon, and in fact, it might hurt the rest of us because everyone's got a nuclear weapon. We'll be right back. Kept all the other bombs from occurring. He said, maybe we can figure out how to only let gene editing go to people who have good motives. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on KUMD.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herbs or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more. Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving them to his family from the very start. You can find Michael's products at your local health food store, your favorite online retailers, or visit michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation today. That's michaelshealth.com.
It's illegal and dangerous for teens to drink any alcohol and then drive. Still, 1 in 10 high school teens drank and got behind the wheel of a car in 2011. If you're a parent, be aware that when teens drink, it's usually to get drunk. Teenagers can't legally buy alcohol, but many get it from their homes or the homes of their friends. Drinking and driving is never okay. Make sure your teenager has a safe way to get home in case they're out with a teen driver who's been drinking. Put this in a parent-teen driving agreement, which should also include wearing a seatbelt and following their state's graduated driver licensing laws every time they're behind the wheel. Find a sample at www.cdc.gov/parentsarethekey. Parents really are the key to safe teen driving. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
Radio MD.
Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
What does the word organic really mean?
So organic really means there's a lot of human labor put into the food that you're consuming. So it could mean there's no pesticides that are applied to seeds and to plants. There's no antibiotics or growth hormones, that are being used in animal products. And it also, in most cases, means that there's no GMO seed that's being used.
Become a healthier you 5 days a week.
What's GMO? What does non-GMO mean?
Okay, so GMO, this is a good one. So GMO stands for genetically modified organisms. So the question is whether or not a seed or plant has some genetically modified gene in it.
It's health delivered daily. Listen live every Monday through Friday at noon Eastern on RadioMD.com, iHeartRadio, or the free TuneIn Radio app.
Can you tell if the surfaces in this kitchen are crawling with bacteria that could cause chronic arthritis? Listen. Can't, can you? You can't see it either. Wash surfaces, utensils, and hands frequently with soapy water while preparing food, especially when handling raw meats or eggs. Raw food may contain bacteria that can make you very sick, or worse. 1 in 6 Americans will get sick from food poisoning this year, and roughly 3,000 will die. But you can keep your family safer by cleaning with soap and water as you go. Learn more about this and other important information. Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. That's foodsafety.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Michael Roizen, MD.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD, where we hope we can help you take charge of your health. That's what our goal is every week. To help you take charge of your health by interpreting what the newest data is and help you understand everything that you have to go through. This is, and what the latest news of the week means. Let me go over and talk about the 5 theories why middle-aged white Americans are dying at shockingly high rates. This is an interesting story, but a scary one. And the, how do I say this? This is, the data on this is that a group of people discovered, that is, to a husband and wife, he's a Nobel Prize winner in economics, and his wife, who's also a serious and successful economist, found that as opposed to every other group in health, that these middle aged white Americans are dying at a increased rate, a rate that's gone up since 1999, as opposed to every other group has been going down. And roughly 500,000 people, 45 to 54, with less than a college education, are dead now that wouldn't be dead if their rates had stayed the same as they were in 1999. And they came up with five theories of why this is occurring. Deaths from drug overdoses among people aged 45 to 64 increased 11-fold. Nearly 90% of people who try heroin for the first time these days are white, and most of them have been, in fact, the people who don't have a college education. Alcohol poisoning. More than 2,200 Americans per year are consuming so much alcohol, and again, they're in this age range. While death rate related to drugs, alcohol, and suicides have risen across the board for middle-aged, uneducated whites, those with every other group have fallen. This Case-Deaton study notes that poisonings overtook lung cancer as a leading cause of death in this age group, and that suicides were headed in this bad direction as well. Perhaps it's due to the end of the American dream. What do we mean by that? Well, it turns out that with the appearance of stable jobs in many manufacturing sections, that many people with only a high school education may not have as many opportunities as they may have a generation ago. Surveys have shown that about half of the middle-aged Americans have not been able to save enough money for retirement. Many in this generation are the first to find in middle life that they will not be better off than their parents. And then there's the breakdown of family support networks. The divorce rate among those over age 50 has doubled to one out of every four people at a time when divorce rates for other age groups have stabilized or dropped. And that may be, so five reasons why we're seeing this increase in death rate. Let me go through some of the other stories quickly as we have other information about this age group. Sugar and high fructose corn syrup. On Wednesday, this past Wednesday, the sugar industry took to a Los Angeles federal courtroom and accused the high fructose corn syrup producers of falsely claiming that their product is just as healthy as sugar. Well, let me go first and say sugar is not healthy. Let's get it on the table. It's one of the five food felons. Both of them are syrups and sugar. So here it is. Corn syrup producers hit back, arguing the sugar industry has long engaged in an unsavory campaign of misinformation. The false advertising spat between two sugar sweeteners that have long been blamed for contributing to a host of ailments, including diabetes, obesity, and tooth decay. At the center of the trial is an advertising campaign that produces corn syrup as nutritionally the same as table sugar and claimed your body can't tell the difference. Big Sugar is seeking $1.5 billion in damages, but corn syrup is seeking $530 million in counter damages. Sugar is sugar, there's no difference, the big corn syrup producer said. If you consume too much sugar, that's not good for you. If you consume too much corn syrup, that's not good for you. Well, in fact, neither is good at all. Okay, do restaurant calories counts change the way we eat? Well, we don't know. But in December this year, that's the bottom line. This study said we don't know. But some of the companies are starting already. Chick-fil-A, one of my favorite fast food restaurants, and it's not fast food, it's fast serve. They are not fast food, it's healthy food, healthier food. You can get those great grilled chicken sandwiches. They are healthier, and they list the calories. It turns out that the firms that have listed the calories, let me go through them so far. It is McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, Jamba Juice, and Starbucks have on average 373 calories per product, as opposed to the ones that don't. You know, the Taco Bells, the Wendy's, etc., they have 521 calories. So go to the ones that have it already listed on the menu boards. It's not required till December, but in fact, the ones that do seem to have healthier choices. Recipes for eating healthier choices. Chefs in school programs redesigned the menus for Turner's. Turner's is a high school in Falls Church, and it has had chefs redesign its menus. We've done that in Cleveland. A lot of places are doing it and redesigning the way the places are put out. That is, the food is served based on the Cornell Marketing Lab's work. That's a big and important change. Reducing sugar intake makes children healthier in just 10 days. Are all calories the same? The answer is no. And this goes back to that study about sugar. Sugar isn't healthier. Let me pause and repeat that. Sugar is not healthy. Obese children who reduce their sugar intake while holding their overall calorie intake the same showed significant improvement in a range of metabolic measures associated with the risk of diabetes in just 10 days. This was done in a study of Hispanic and African American children between the ages of 9 and 18 who were being treated in UC San Francisco, University of California, San Francisco, my alma mater. Working with nutritionists, they modified their diets to reduce their daily sugar intake substantially while holding their total calories constant. What did they find? That within 10 days, their risks of diabetes and their markers of that risk really radically decreased. Now, we've only got one segment left, and that's too bad because there's so many great stories this week. But one of those stories is on growing up with a pet dog affect your kid's asthma risk. Does it increase it or decrease it? Well, you'll have to come back and listen on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And, of course, you can find out all about us by going to the website RadioMD.com, and you can get any of 15 years' worth of shows on podcast at RadioMD.com. Go to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Look for the week you want, and it even has some stories about each of the shows. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
I'm here to tell you that Shelton's chickens and turkeys don't do drugs. Now, what does that mean? They're raised without the use of antibiotics or artificial growth stimulants. They're even allowed to walk around in the open space and sunshine, free to scratch at the ground and peck away at whatever takes their fancy. All of Shelton's natural poultry products are made with the finest natural ingredients available. They use no preservatives, flavor enhancers, modified starches, animal protein, or any artificial ingredients. In fact, their ingredient list reads more like home recipes instead of chemistry textbooks. From premium whole turkeys and chickens to chicken breasts and thighs, ground turkey, uncured chicken franks, canned chicken and chili, turkey burgers and meatballs, and the absolute best turkey jerky and sticks on the planet, Shelton's is your go-to poultry brand. If you want certified organic, you can have that too. Look for the Shelton's brand in your natural markets, or to search for one near you, go to Shelton's.com. Shelton's premium poultry is so good, your family will taste the healthy difference.
Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest. From technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all of our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by over 5,500 stations. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, If you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and The Federalist, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com.
Antioxidants. You've heard of them, but do you know what they're good for or where to get them? This is Sylvia Escott Stump of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Antioxidants. They destroy the free radicals that cause cellular damage. And eating foods that are rich in antioxidants may help prevent cancer and heart disease. These foods include red wine in addition to grape juice, whole grain pasta, eggs, seafood, and canned beans, brightly colored vegetables, carrots, squash, broccoli, all the peppers, sweet potatoes, tomatoes, and kale are other tasty sources. And for those of you with a sweet tooth, good news. Honey, brown sugar, and maple syrup, in addition to fruits like blueberries, cantaloupe, peaches, and strawberries, also contain significant levels of antioxidants. Encouraging you to eat right, I'm registered dietitian Sylvia Escott Stump with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Any daughter would do the same. But soon enough, he needed help doing more things, and it was up to me to be his personal shopper and financial manager, too. And before I knew it, Dad moved in with me, so I became his cook, his personal assistant, his physical therapist, and even his nurse. When I started taking care of Dad, I didn't realize all the roles I'd have to play. But no matter what, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the many roles you play. And to help, we created an online caregiving resource center. At aarp.org/caregiving, you can find resources and connect with the caregiving community. Together, we can better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to learn more. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Michael Roizen, M.D.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. I promised you this story, how growing up with a pet affects kids' asthma risk. It actually decreases it by about 13%. That's right. This was 1 million people that were studied. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the U.S. government's one, says that 1 in 11 children and 1 in 12 adults has asthma, which makes it difficult for air to move in and out of your lungs, causing coughing, wheezing, and shortness of breath. The results of this study, looking at large groups of people, confirmed that children who grew up with dogs in their first year of life had a 13% lower risk of asthma. That's instead of 1 in 12, it goes back to 1 in 13. Maybe that's why it happened. This is important because asthma is a chronic disease, and parents may worry whether or not they should keep their pets when they're having a baby. The answer is maybe not immediately, but certainly within that first year. And as my wife says, the other way of doing it, and my wife is a great pediatrician, the other way of doing it, taking your children to a zoo early in life. And that does it too, going to a petting zoo and having them pet, do it with supervision, obviously, so nothing bad happens. Calcium supplements and fracture risk. That's a question I got, and I hope I can do this. Marjorie Rosen wrote me from New York, and she says, in light of the BMJ study, that's the British Medical Journal study, last September that you quoted in the article, it states there's not much evidence that calcium supplements cut fracture risk. Have you changed your recommendation, or is this just one study in a sea of others? The answer is, what we know is that jumping strengthens your bones, but you need vitamin D and the right amount of calcium. But the calcium, in other words, the studies didn't look at all three together. They looked at calcium alone, and calcium alone doesn't get incorporated. You need the vitamin D with it. And so it is vitamin D plus calcium plus jumping, 40 jumps a day, seems to strengthen bone, and in the two studies we have, decreases hip fracture risk. Calcium alone doesn't do it. I didn't change my recommendation, but it isn't calcium alone. It's the combination of things that seem to be the benefit. And is there anything else we should talk about today that's really important before we review the important things? And the answer is yes. We can't go away without talking about obesity. You know, what's a program without obesity? I don't think I've talked about obesity at all, but there was a great and important study this week that is that, obesity costs California by itself, not the U.S. government, but just the California administration. What does obesity cost California? It costs it about $9.1 billion. That's B with a billion dollars. If you look a year. So let me report. This was a study published this past Monday in Health Affairs. It found that medical care associated, this is medical care, this isn't even all the decrease in productivity, it isn't even the absenteeism that obesity causes. This is just obesity, and it's factoring out a whole bunch of other things associated with obesity, like high blood pressure, etc. But within the field, there's wide awareness of much higher clinical severity of obesity. So what this is obesity and severe obesity was defined as having a body mass index, a measure of weight and height. You can go and put body mass index in Amazon, in Google, and you find a body mass index calculated from the Cleveland Clinic and one from the National Institutes of Health and one from ShareCare and one from Dr. Oz, etc. Well, it doesn't matter. They're all the same. You go and put in your height and weight. Do it accurately. People always underestimate their weight and overestimate their height. But put it in accurately. If you're between 30 and 35, you're obese, 35 and over, severe obesity. So what they found is that 29% of Californians are obese, a little lower than the national average of 34%. 11% are severely obese. It means even with California having the nation's third lowest obesity rate, it still costs $9.1 billion just in direct health care for Californians for obesity. Amazing, right? $9.1 billion directly. That doesn't include what it costs in extra cases of type 2 diabetes or hip fracture, etc. So that's what it costs. Now, the next study on this said, maybe we should think about brain stimulation, because brain stimulation lowered calories consumed in adults with obesity. That is, a National Institute of Health study found that non-invasive brain stimulation, you put on a little helmet that stimulates your brain in the right areas, and what happened over 5 days? Well, they decreased their calories consumed significantly. How much? You're going to have to turn in next week, because we'll talk a lot more about obesity and what you can do for it next week. And we'll even talk about Oprah's new venture into Weight Watchers and what we think about that and other things. I'm obviously strongly in favor of doing group therapies of any kind, and that may help greatly. Okay, where have we been today? Today we talked about the getting a higher dose of vaccine, the adult extra strength vaccine if you're taking a statin. We talked about middle-aged or less educated white people, our men especially, are dying at a much higher rate than they were in 1999. It's about 2% increase, but it's compounded annually. So 2% plus 2% plus 2%, and then you keep compounding it. So since 1999, it's about 35% more than they were, a higher rate, mainly due to alcohol, drug use, and suicides. How much does severe obesity cost California? About $9 billion. Are antibiotics associated with it? Yeah, if your kids receive seven doses of antibiotics, which many kids have, it's an increased risk of dying by about, an increased risk of obesity, sorry, by about 15%. So just avoid those antibiotics. Brain stimulation may do it. We talked with the one of the greats in cardiology, James Forster, about his new book, The Heart Healers. It's a wonderful book. If you've got a book to read, this is just a compelling book that I read on all of the rebels who had changed medicine because of their work. The Heart Healers do get it. P53 suppresses cancer. Maybe you can inject and edit into more P53 genes. And that's the real promise, gene editing, and we talk about that as well. We're listening to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD, a passionate show that helps you take control.